Wisdom offers the solid food of wine and meat, but folly offers stolen water and bread eaten in secret. What is that all about?
Proclaiming God's love and truth for you and your family. Wonder Lake Bible Church.
I think we have all received invitations before. Invitations to a variety of different functions, to weddings, to parties, to showers. And oftentimes when we get that invitation, we might see a little something at the bottom. Four letters there that say RSVP. And RSVP means what? Very good. Répondez, s'il vous plaît. Meaning what? Respond, if you please, or let us know. Are you coming or not? Yes or no? That helps the event organizer to plan, to know who's coming, how many are going to be there. So they look for a response to that invitation. Yes or no? And you notice, though, you won't just see yes or no. It'll usually be yes, or it'll be, sometimes you'll see it maybe, but it'll say no with regrets, right? With regrets. And I think we all know with regrets is just a very nice way of saying no. However, I have to admit there are times when I've checked that and I didn't regret it at all that I wasn't going to that. Saying with regrets, you know, you'd like to come, but for whatever reason you can't, so no, with regrets. Well, we're going to consider an invitation today. There's an invitation that goes out to you and me every day. And it's an invitation from folly, from foolishness, inviting us to follow her ways and to accept the benefits, if you will, that she offers. And I hope that when folly comes calling, you and I will always RSVP that invitation with no regrets. We say no and we don't regret it at all that we're saying no to that invitation. You recall last time we talked about that classic of American cinema, the film Forrest Gump. You remember it tells that story of the slow-witted man who improbably impacted many different historical events. And one of the things he says through that repeatedly is, Mama always said, Mama said, and little pithy bits of wisdom. And Mama always said what? Stupid is as stupid does. By the way, I'm pleased to announce to you here on this, I understood in context what that meant when I saw the movie, but I thought it was kind of an odd thing. And now we have this wonderful thing today called the internet, don't we? That we didn't have, well, it was around back in 1994, but now it's just much, much more accessible. And now I discovered, that's why Mama said that. Do you know why Mama said that? Well, it was said in the South, right? And I came to find out there is a popular saying in the South, which is, beauty is as beauty does. In other words, you know, that beauty is not to be determined just by surface things, appearances, but beauty reveals itself in character and what we do. And so now here was Mama who was protecting her son when he would be made fun of and they'd say he's stupid, that she taught him to say, stupid is as stupid does. That's why Mama taught him to say that. And so last week then, we considered then that, well, we could say the same thing about wisdom. Proverbs says, wisdom is as wisdom does. Wisdom is revealed by what we do. It springs from character, but that character is revealed then in what we do. And today, we looked at wisdom. Today, we're going to look at folly or foolishness. And today, we see that Proverbs says, folly is as folly does. Folly is revealed in what we do. So for today then, Proverbs, wisdom for a successful life. There's an invitation that goes out to you and me from folly, and I pray that we will RSVP with no regrets. The characteristics and curses of folly. And what do I want us to take away from this message today? Well, it's this, that the life of folly. The life of folly must be soundly rejected, for it results only in heartache, in ruin, and death. Heartache, punishment, ruin, death. Isn't that a wonderful benefit of pursuing folly? Heartache, punishment, ruin, death? I don't think so. It's a reminder then, what is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to discern or judge what is true, what is right, what is good or lasting. And that ability is revealed then when the decisions and choices that we make. Can we discern, can we see what is best? What's true, what's right, what's good, what's lasting, what really counts? That is wisdom. Oh, what is folly? Well, it's the opposite of that. And a little twist that I want to put onto it as well. Well, it's that inability. A fool isn't capable or doesn't see what's good or right or best, what's true, what's lasting. And as we'll see in Proverbs, then, there's an active component to folly as well. The folly isn't just something, a lack of ability in the mind. It's an active choice, too. Folly is those things, but it is choosing then to do that which is immoral and destructive. And sometimes the fool knows better. The fool does have insight, that the fool can discern what is true, what is right, what is good, what is lasting, but nevertheless chooses to do that which is immoral and destructive. Has anybody ever been a fool here? You know what's right. You know what's good. You know what is lasting. But you choose to do the immoral and the destructive. Anybody, raise your hands if you have ever done something foolish, even though you knew better. So folly, there may not be any insight at all, or sometimes may have insight, but you choose to do that which is immoral and destructive anyway. We said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you want to be a wise man, if you want to be a wise woman, starts with a proper fear of the Lord. The proper fear of the Lord, acknowledging God. And what did we say about that? Well, we said that it is a profound awe and respect for the nature and power of God. That's true, and as I said, a lot of times Christians, their definition of fear of the Lord will stop at that first point. We think about that, well, it's profound respect for God, and it is. But I would suggest we leave out oftentimes another part of it. Fear of the Lord is also a sobering acknowledgement that God's holiness, His judgment, and His discipline are a consuming fire. And that reality ought to motivate us to choose wisdom. We're saying what? God isn't playing games. He's not fooling around. God doesn't fool around with sin. And so, if we're going to follow Him and be wise, we're best not to fool around with sin either. And so fear of the Lord is acknowledging that God is serious about sin. And that because He's holy, because He's just, and yes, because He's a loving Heavenly Father, He will judge and discipline sin and foolishness, and He's a consuming fire. So if fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, what would you say the beginning of folly is? The starting point for folly is a lack of fear of the Lord. I would say what is denial or disregard of the Lord is the beginning of folly. Deny. Sometimes you just deny it all. Just deny that God is even there. In fact, Scripture says what? The fool has said in his heart what? There is no God. Now, you can take that two ways. One, he might be, say, just denying His existence at all. Or another might be, well, think that, well, God exists. But denying, though, that He has any say over or care in me or what I do, or, you know, just denying God. There is no God. I don't have to worry about God. If He's there, I don't have to worry about Him. So maybe a denial of Him, a hard option denial or a soft option denial. A soft option might then be that disregard. disregard. I don't think about the Lord and who He is and His nature, His power, His holiness, His righteousness. So if you want to be a fool, just pretend that God isn't there and that His holiness is not a consuming fire. That's the beginning of folly. If you have your Bibles, look at Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9, we're going to look at verses 13 through 18. Consider this your invitation from folly. Here's your invitation from folly. The woman folly is loud. She is undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way, "Let all who are simple come in here." She says to those who lack judgment, "Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave." Last week, ladies, you were all so pleased, weren't you, when wisdom was personified as a woman? Well, I'm afraid to say that the other side of that coin is here today. Folly is now also personified as a woman. Guys, how many of you are glad to see that here today? All right, there's one brave man back there. She's going to have a word with you afterwards. But here, wisdom, she calls, well, her counterpart is folly. And she calls as well. In Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, we see wisdom extending her invitation to all who will respond. She calls out to the simple. She invites them to her banquet where they may feast on the good things that wisdom brings. Walking in the way of wisdom, she says, will bring life. Folly, however, is loud and undisciplined. She cries out to all who are attempting to do the right thing. She says, "Hey, come check out my ways. Come enjoy the feast that I will serve you." Wisdom offers the solid food of wine and meat, but folly offers stolen water and bread eaten in secret. What is that all about? She says that stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is delicious. What is the stolen water? What is this bread eaten in secret? Well, they represent something. They represent illegitimate fulfillment of need or desire. God has created us with needs and desires, hasn't He? And He's given us the right way to find fulfillment. But foolish men and women like to go around that and fulfill those needs and desires in other ways that are not in accordance with what God has said or God provided. And that's the stolen water. That's the bread eaten in secret. That's the illegitimate. That's the getting around what God says. I'm going to meet my needs. I'm going to get what I want the way I want it. So these are stolen pleasures. They are illicit fulfillment of desires. This is an appeal to the darker side of our natures that delights in getting away with something, in reveling in the forbidden. Have you found that there's something within the sin nature within you that not only seeks it, but actually even enjoys the wrong or the forbidden? Delights. Stolen water is sweet. Bread eaten in secret is delicious. There's a sick, sinful, perverse joy in doing the wrong. But it only lasts for a season, doesn't it? That water becomes bitter. That bread becomes moldy. It has a particular application in chapter 5 and again in chapter 30 to illicit sexual activity. The stolen water there, illicit fulfillment of desire. So there's folly's invitation. Come accept my, forget that wisdom with her meal and the life that she offers. Come follow my way. I'll teach you how to get around that and get your needs met another way. And it's actually even, there's something enjoyable about reveling in the darkness and the forbidden. So there's her invitation. How will you respond today? Will you respond no? And will you respond with no regrets? Some of us may have responded no to her, but we checked off with regrets. We kind of regret that we don't get to revel in our sin and darkness. But there's no regrets in saying no to folly. Today we're going to examine the characteristics of folly and the curses of folly, as seen in the book of Proverbs. The characteristics of folly, the curses of folly. First, the characteristics of folly. Folly is as folly does. Now, this is by no means a complete list of all that Proverbs has to say on the subject of folly. But rather, I've picked out some of the key characteristics, and we're going to briefly consider some of them. There are going to be 12 of them, but we're going to keep moving, all right? And there's lots more that Proverbs has to say. By the way, has anyone been doing that daily Proverbs challenge in that? I know a number of you have. A number of you have commented you've enjoyed that. So you know that Proverbs has quite a bit to say about wisdom and folly and what wisdom does, what folly does. So as we briefly consider some of these characteristics of folly revealed in Proverbs, I want you to ask yourself if you see any of these characteristics in your life. Do you see any evidence of folly in your life? First, these. Folly takes pleasure in evil conduct. Folly takes pleasure in evil conduct. Proverbs 10:23 says, "A fool finds pleasure in evil conduct, but a man of understanding delights in wisdom." You know, as we are walking faithfully with the Lord, we discover that folly, that sin and rebellion really doesn't bring any joy or fulfillment, does it? And what brings us joy and fulfillment is walking in wisdom, walking in the light. But folly, though, finds pleasure in evil conduct. The sin nature loves to sin, doesn't it? It enjoys sin. It enjoys the act of sin. But unfortunately, the end result isn't so great, is it? And it even has the law of diminishing returns. What we may have enjoyed at one point all of a sudden becomes less and less enjoyable. And pretty soon it's just all miserable and we're stuck in it. Maybe for a time, though, there's pleasure. There's pleasure in evil. You know, this phrase that a fool finds pleasure in evil conduct, but a man of understanding delights in wisdom, has a New Testament counterpart. We see that in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where we see the description of love. One of the things that characterizes love, really loving others, is this. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Folly takes pleasure in evil conduct. Folly is self-deceived. Folly is self-deceived. Proverbs 12:15 says this, "The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice." The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. So the fool is the one that thinks, "Well, oh, I'm right, I got it. I know where to go. I know what to do here. I'm good. I don't need your advice. I don't care what you think. I'm right." But they're deceived, self-deceived. They don't see that they're foolish and that they're wrong. Proverbs 28:26 says, "He who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe." So folly has a supreme confidence in self. But you're deceived. Jeremiah said of the heart that what? That the heart is wicked, desperately sick. Who can understand it? Well, the fool thinks that there's no problem with his heart. Folly spurns discipline. Our first message in this series, chapter 1, verse 7, we looked at this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. All right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. The fool doesn't want to be corrected. Wisdom acknowledges the need of correction and even seeks it out. The fool doesn't want to hear it, doesn't want to be corrected. The fool despises it. Folly will not repent or make amends. Will not repent or make amends. Proverbs 13:19 says, "A longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul, but fools detest turning from evil." You know, God has made us to, well, ultimately to find our joy and completion and fulfillment in Him alone, right? Remember, one of the ancient church fathers said what? That our hearts are restless until they rest in Thee. It's in God that we find our true fulfillment. It says, "A longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul, but fools detest turning from evil." You know, fools are looking, God has made us all for fulfillment in Him. And when we turn away from Him, we try to find that in other things. And the fool then realizes through experience that it's not found in sin and foolishness and rebellion, but they refuse to turn from it, refuse to repent. They detest turning from evil. Proverbs 14:9 says, "Fools mock at making amends for sin, but goodwill is found among the upright." A fool doesn't want to be corrected, and they certainly then aren't going to go and be and make things right with another person. They don't need to do that. Anybody know somebody like that that's always right? And even if you can point out they're wrong, they're not going to go make it right with the other person. And of course, my favorite one on this theme of not repenting or making amends and continuing on, and Proverbs 26:11, this is a rather graphic picture here, but "As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his folly." Just keeps doing it over and over again. Some of you are dog people, and you know you know that, don't you? Fools. That's what fools do, though. They keep returning, going back over and over again. Folly, then, too, has anger issues. Has anger issues. Engages in empty and destructive speech, is unreliable and is wasteful. Proverbs 14:6 says, "A wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil, but a fool is hot-headed and reckless." Proverbs 23, "It is to a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel." You know somebody, the slightest little provocation, and they want to fight with you. They want to argue about it. And when I mentioned last week, Proverbs 29:11, "A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control." So the fool is they get upset about something, and what do? They just open it up, and whoom, it all comes out on you. A fool gives full vent to the anger, But the wise person learns control. And by the way, you know, that can happen even with righteous anger. You know, there's an anger that is sinful and wrong, you know, because somebody is getting in the way of our selfish desires, we get angry. Well, that's an unrighteous anger. But then there's a righteous anger, though, that can come when someone is being hurt or wounded, or the glory of God is being marred in some way. Someone's being hurt. Wrong is triumphing. And you get angry, but God gets angry, doesn't he? So even with a righteous anger, though, a person can have a righteous anger, but they can be very foolish in how that's expressed. Even with righteous anger, there's a need for control, self-control. The fool just gives full vent to it, lets it all out there. The wise person keeps himself under control. Anger issues, empty, destructive speech. Proverbs 15:2 says, "The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly." In other words, when the wise person speaks, it is wisdom, that which is good and right and true and uplifting and edifying. Whereas the fool, when they speak, what? It just gushes folly. It just all comes out. Jesus said what? That what is in the heart of man is revealed by the mouth, by speech, isn't it? Our mouths betray what's inside our hearts. And the fool gushes folly. Proverbs 18:7, "A fool's mouth is his undoing, but his lips are a snare, and his lips are a snare to his soul." You ever gotten in trouble because of your mouth? I have. I could tell you a few stories, but we'll just... Trust me when I tell you I've gotten in trouble by what I had to say that wasn't carefully thought out at the time. A fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul. A fool is also unreliable, undependable. Can't put any trust in him. Not going to come through for you. Proverbs 26:6, "Like cutting off one's feet or drinking violence is the sending of a message by the hand of a fool." Here's an important task to give. It's just like it's a totally senseless thing. You might as well forget it. It's not going to happen. A fool cannot be relied upon or depended upon to do something important that needs to be done. Proverbs 26:10, "Like an archer who wounds at random is he who hires a fool or any passerby." Again, you can't depend on the fool. You hire the fool to do a job for you. The job doesn't get done. They're unreliable, undependable. The fool then too is wasteful. Proverbs 21:20, "In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has." Fool doesn't give thought to the future. Just say whatever they have, just uses it all up, spends it all, spend, spend, spend. And then this last set here, folly values their own opinion over understanding. If anyone knows someone like this, you don't have to raise your hand, but I think I'll see a nodding head or two. Proverbs 18:2, "A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions." Seeing a few chuckles, all right. "A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions." The fool doesn't really want to come to understanding of something. They just want to shoot their mouth off about what they think. They like hearing themselves speak, and they like hearing their opinion put out there. They don't really care about the truth or what's right or good. They just want to shoot their opinion out there because, after all, they're always right, right? A fool values their own opinion over understanding or over the truth. A fool is dangerous is a great picture here of what it's like to hang around with a fool. Proverbs 17:12, better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than a fool in his folly. So you want trouble? Get involved with the fool who's knee-deep or neck-deep in folly. You know what? You'd be better to stumble across a bear robbed of her cubs. Can you imagine? Could you just imagine mama bear and the cubs are taken away? You don't want to be around that mama bear, do you? Well, you know what? You said you're better off in that case than hanging around with a fool neck-deep in folly. Bad company corrupts good morals, right? So a fool is dangerous. A fool is difficult to be around. I wonder if some of you have experienced this truth, Proverbs 27:3. Stone is heavy and sand a burden, but provocation by a fool is heavier than both. Being provoked by a fool is heavier than stone or sand. You know, yesterday we did a little work project here down in the basement where we're taking up that carpet in the basement. And one of the rooms down there was, some of you may be shocked and horrified when you hear this, but it's okay. It was the right thing to do. One of the rooms, there was an old piano downstairs. It was a piece of junk, okay? And it needed to go. So we had to take that piano out. A baby grand piano, okay? You don't just go up to a baby grand piano and upend it and turn it around the stairs and take it up there. So we went to town with a sledgehammer. Actually, it was my sledgehammer. You see, the fool, you know, we said, you know what, we need a sledgehammer. So I went home and got my sledgehammer. When I got home, I remembered I broke it the last time I used it. Skip, I broke another one, by the way. When I bought the house here in Wonder Lake a few years back, Skip loaned me a sledgehammer. I broke it. So I went out and bought another sledgehammer. I broke it. So then I went out and I thought I was going to get smart. So I got a plastic handled. So I'm not going to break the plastic, right? Well, I didn't break the plastic. What I did do is break the head off of the plastic. So the last time I was using it and I broke it, what do you do when you break, when the head comes off? What do? Bam, 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 and you slam it on the ground, and you get that head back on there. And I kept using it, and it'd fall off, and then I'd put it back on. See, I was a fool. A wise person would just, you know, get it fixed or get a new one. But of course, I'm a man, so I had to keep using it. Someone said yesterday that if it's broke, don't fix it, and if it's broken, use it anyway, right? So so I got it and said, we can probably get a few hits out of it. So I brought it back. But fortunately, I had an axe that had on the end that we could use too. So I brought them both. So I gave the axe to Dennis here. Was it about three hits before the head popped off and went flying across the room? And it's like, okay, we're probably not going to use the sledgehammer. What's my point in all of this? Well, we got the thing broken up. And the heaviest part of it is this big cast steel section that is where all the wires are hooked to and that. If you go out, you'll see it by the dumpster, leaning up against the dumpster out there. Someone's going to come pick that up, right? So that was heavy. Just that steel piece, let alone the whole thing. As heavy as that thing was to carry up the stairs and get out to the dumpster, the provocation of a fool, how a fool can provoke you, it's heavier than that. That's a burden carrying that. But you know what? When you've got a fool in your life who's provoking you, that's an even heavier burden to carry, it says. In other words, what a fool is hard to be around, aren't they? So what's the lesson? Don't be around them. Now, you can't avoid them completely, can you? Especially if they're in your home. But I know that's not true of anyone here. We need grace, don't we? We need grace. receive grace and extend grace. But sometimes, though, we don't need to be around it, and we do it. We enter into the lives of fools in a way that is foolish. Valuing their own opinion over understanding. Dangerous. They can ruin you. They're hard to deal with, hard to be around. And finally, they bring harm. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with the wise grows wise. But a companion of fools suffers harm. Fools cannot be entirely avoided, can they? But if we choose to be a companion of a fool, when we don't have to be, we're going to suffer harm for it. Of course, folly offers such wonderful benefits. Offers these benefits: punishment, ruin, and death. Punishment, ruin, and death. But other than that, it's not so bad. Punishment, Proverbs 16:22. Understanding is a fountain of life to those who have it. But folly brings punishment to fools. There is a consequence for our actions, isn't there? There are certain rules or laws that govern there are physical laws that govern the physical universe. The law of gravity, for example. What goes up must come down, right? Well, there are rules and laws that govern the spiritual or the moral universe as well. And one of them is even though it may be delayed, folly brings punishment, ruin, and death. Every time. There are no exceptions. It may be delayed, but it will come. And of course, the converse of that is what? That wisdom brings life, abundant, eternal life, prosperity in the proper sense that we'll talk about, goodness, life. Every time, it may be delayed, but it's going to happen every time. Folly brings punishment. Folly brings ruin. Proverbs 10:8. The wise in heart accept commands, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. And I really like this one. I've seen this. And I have to tell you, there was a time in my life, a little dark night of the soul period in my life, when this next one, I lived. I know this one is true. Proverbs 19:3. A man's own folly ruins his life, yet his heart rages against the Lord. A man's own folly ruins his life, yet his heart rages against the Lord. Proverbs 19:3. Stupid things we do bring on this ruination. And yet what do? We want to blame God. It's God's fault. That's what a fool does. A fool blames God, even though it was their own folly that got them there. Punishment, ruin, and finally death. Proverbs 5:23, he, that is the fool, will die for lack of discipline, led astray by his own great folly. Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment. So these are the characteristics of folly and the curses of folly. I guess my one simple question for you today is, what are you going to do with that invitation? Because this is an invitation that just gets sent out once. This invitation is before us daily, isn't it? Are we going to walk in wisdom, we're going to walk in folly. So my question is have you said no? Have you said no to the invitation, to the call of folly? Have you said, nope, I reject your invitation? And not with regrets. I reject it with no regrets. I don't regret at all saying no to folly, selfishness, foolishness, sin. I asked before, I know a number of you have come up and said something you're really enjoying. I want to put it out there again. Little thing I'm going to call the Daily Proverbs Challenge. What is that if you haven't heard that? But well, approximately how many days of the month are there? 30, 31? How many chapters of Proverbs? 31. Why not get into a habit here? If you want to be a wise man, if you want to be a wise woman, why don't you read a chapter of Proverbs a day and go by the day of the month? Today is, what, the 17th? So you read chapter 17 today. My challenge is we're going to be in this series for, well, we started a few weeks ago. We're going to conclude end of August. So that's 2 months. You could read through it twice. You don't have to go all the way back to chapter 1. You can just start today in chapter 17. But go through and read that each day. Read that chapter. You'll get through half of it, and then in August you'll get through the whole book of it. I think that's a great discipline just to read that chapter a day in Proverbs if you want to be a wise man or woman. Because we are Christians, because this is a church, this message is not simply about wisdom and folly. This message must also point out to you and to me that there is an answer, a supreme answer, found in Jesus Christ to wisdom and the problem of folly. Jesus is, again, he's the very embodiment of the wisdom of God, isn't he? And if we want to be wise, then what, we follow in his ways, we seek to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And how is that? Is that you and me? We're try real hard to be better than we are, to reform our sinful flesh and do better? No, the flesh is beyond reformation, isn't it? The sinful nature has been crucified. It's dead. It's judged once and for all. But what we can do is receive by faith the new life that's found in Jesus Christ. To offer up ourselves daily as what, living sacrifices. And when we have been the fool or played the part of the fool, isn't it good to know that there is the cleansing blood of Jesus that forgives, cleanses, sets things new? Have you said no to the call of folly? Have you said no and you have no regrets at all to say no to that invitation? Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you have sent us a Savior. We're not men and women who just need to attempt to do better, to say, well, I'm going to turn away from folly and I'm going to live wisely, because God, there is the darkness within us of that sin nature that is utterly irredeemable. And we are completely helpless to be truly wise without a Savior. So God, we thank you for sending our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he was crucified for our sin, for my sin, in order that the sin in me would die. He was buried and he rose again in order that we might rise again, rise with him. God, we reject, we turn away from folly, from sin, from denial, or disregard for the Lord. And God, we humbly acknowledge our fear of you, our profound awe and respect, and a sobering acknowledgement, Lord, that your holiness, your judgment, your discipline is a consuming fire. But we thank you, Lord, that in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not burned up by that fire. We're made holy and pure and clean. Help us, Lord, to be wise men and women who daily say yes to wisdom and who say no to folly with no regrets. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.